With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, the season's underway.
Yay.
And the ramble's still here.
Some of us are, yes.
3 out of 4.
Ain't bad.
Ain't bad.
Exactly.
I'd take that.
Oh, Lords, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the football ramble. We're down one, as we said last week. James or Jim is in Edinburgh, hopefully doing some lols. At the festival. But don't worry,
there'll be lols here as well. Presumptuous.
As we say, yeah, every week now. Pete Donaldson has joined us from his comfy sofa.
I have. Hello, everyone.
Luke Moore's made his way from the green room over to here.
All right.
There's no green room.
No.
And Marcus Speller, that's me, is also here, so don't worry. You're in grand hands.
I can imagine loads of listeners just sort of going, thank God for that.
Marcus Speller's Grand Hands.
The new series from HBO.
Yeah. The British tour. Right, this is from an email from
Mr. John Hillcock, friend of the ramble.
Johnny Hillcock. Yeah.
Big Johnny.
Good lad. Father of New Noise, which is a very, very good new music podcast, which you should all listen to if you like music.
Wow.
I listen to it every week.
I would have said a rival podcast, but it's not.
No, it's not. Operating in different spheres.
Yeah.
Radii of influi.
And don't be afraid to dip into a different sphere. Right, the question that he wants us to answer once and for all. He says, would you rather be a player who achieved local hero status but didn't win much as a player? For example, maybe a Steve Bull, perhaps.
Or a Matt Letizier.
Or a Matt Letizier, yeah. Or would you rather be a world-class player, a world-beater, who is largely regarded as a bit of a knob?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know what I mean? So your examples there, maybe Steve Bull, Matthew Letizier, is kind of a local hero.
I'm going to go...
Or a world-beater. Perhaps... It pains me to say sort of Cristiano Ronaldo, who people don't particularly like, but he's just an unbelievably good player.
I'm going to go for world-class player.
I thought you would.
Well, my rationale for this is I think...
you're already hating.
Most people think I'm a knob anyway. I've not lost anything. Yeah. And I think, really, on a more serious note, you know, you're in football to win things and to try and achieve and to be the best you can be. Mm. So I've always not really had the amount of respect that others maybe have had for local players like Bull and Letizia and stuff, especially in Letizio's case, where he's actively turned down moves. I mean, some players achieve local hero status because it doesn't quite work out for them.
Sure.
But Letizia actually did properly turn down moves away, I think, to Chelsea famously.
Well, okay, you can use those examples as a local hero, or you can use those who perhaps have done the best they can for the situation.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's a different kind of fish, slightly, isn't it? So if
but it's still... Well, it's open to interpretation.
Yeah, I'd rather be a world-class player, personally.
Okay. PT.
I think I touched on this last week. I'd like to think that I would have local hero status.
I think you already do, don't you?
Yeah. The 4,000 XFM listeners can't say.
I'm thinking you're doing this
right. I've seen me figures. I would be an absolute waster, I think. Whatever small amount of talent that I may have possessed football-wise, I would piss it up the wall, to be honest.
Would you be like that lad out of Goal, who plays up front for Newcastle, who was in Jurassic Park 3?
Of the blonde hair?
Yeah. Would you be like him?
Just the awful, horrible sort of Craig Bellamy style.
Ugly. Annoying.
No, he wasn't ugly.
No, I'm joking. He was quite a looker, actually.
Quite a looker, yeah.
He was annoying, though.
Nice blonde. He's a bit... I tell you what, he's reminiscent visually of Robbie Savage.
That's true.
Blonde locks.
Yeah.
A little bit of stubble.
It's more Lovejoy for me, to be honest.
Is it? That.
What? Yeah, less of
every
that.
Every time I mention him, I shout it down.
Don't mention him then. What's your answer, Marcus?
It is a tricky one because, as you say in football,
but you're already a local hero at AFC Ashton, aren't you?
No.
AFC Ashton, I'm a small, Hall of Famer.
Small fish in a big pond.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all finished now. You know, we're a bit like you know, Provocelli or something. Yeah. We achieved a lot, but we're no longer.
Move it on.
I think I'd rather be a local hero.
Yeah?
I'm all about community.
I'm all about ambition.
You've got a local footballer's haircut, I think.
No, I've got a world class footballer's.
In which case, if that was the case, and we played in the same era, and when we both got called up for England, the crowd, all the fans were calling for you to get called up for England. You finally did. We'd automatically hate each other. You'd think I was a fancy down, and I think you're a small time.
No, because I'm all about the love.
Yeah,
and so I wouldn't hate you. I would just think that's what he's doing, and
you are Chinaglia.
Yeah,
you are him
exactly.
Chinaglia.
I like the local hero stuff. I couldn't be arsed going on holiday in Spain or Italy and being recognised and like.
But what about when you're out on the big market like Kieran Dyer or
Newcastle?
And you just sort of and Jermaine Jenas, life in a goldfish bowl and all that. Could you take people buying your booze all the time?
Well, I wouldn't play for Newcastle.
Well, all right.
So that just takes away that.
whatever happening night spot is in AFC Ashton near that.
Stop it.
I don't even know where Ashton is.
It's in Surrey.
It is Surrey, between Leatherhead and Epsom.
Of course, yeah.
Leatherhead, now there you go. You play for local hero for Leatherhead. Got to the FA Cup round three.
You almost said final then.
I didn't say final, yeah, round three.
FA Cup final, qualifying round.
Like me, listeners, you're probably wondering why we're still talking about this. Are there any points for this question?
It would probably be a moot point, wouldn't it?
I'll have the points.
Hey!
Right, let's get underway.
It's not an official FIFA sanctioned game.
No.
Jim's not here.
So the league table doesn't change.
Yeah, you can have the points.
Yeah, the ranking system's still the same. The Football League is underway.
Yeah, it was a good opening weekend.
All the local heroes
it was fun.
Are at it again. And the first game of the Championship, Watford beat Norwich 3-2 away in their new AC Milan style away kit.
Amazing kit.
Like it, do you?
Yeah, I think it's quality, yeah. I think it's a little bit... I think if I was a fan, I would be a bit like...
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, but it's still good.
But it's kind of like the other sort of notable kit from the weekend, the Southampton Peru kit.
Yeah, that's a nice one. That's a real nice kit.
That is a nice kit.
Is that a little compliment to Southampton there, Luke?
Yeah, well, I think it's a nice kit. I'm not gonna be churlish about it.
Well, you were before the mics came on.
You can't polish a turd, though, can you?
Well done, Umbro.
Yeah. well done indeed. David James got off to a bad start with Bristol City, lost 3-0 home to Millwall, but that's a fantastic start for Millwall.
It really is. I think Millwall might do alright this season. I can see them finishing in the top 10.
Yeah.
I think Jacket's a good manager, I think, and they've signed some alright players during the summer.
Yeah.
I think they've got a chance. I mean, David James had a stinker, but also Jamie
Ashley though.
Well, it was an error.
Okay.
A big error. Infected locks.
Yeah. Well, him and Jamie Ashdown at Portsmouth, obviously, had another Tavey-esque error. He let it squirm under his body. It was a bit of a weekend for goalkeeping errors, to be honest.
Yeah, Pompey got off to a bad start. 2-0 loss away to Coventry. Freddie Eastwood, ex-West Ham?
Yeah, got a couple.
Yeah, lovely header for the second.
Now, Freddie Eastwood's ex-Southend.
Oh, did he not play for West Ham at all?
Freddie Sears?
That's the one.
Freddie Sears.
Lucky you're here.
I just feel sorry for Cottrell, because I like him.
Yeah,
I think everyone wants him to win.
He did a great job at Notts County. I mean,
local hero.
Yeah, he is. I think that Pompey could do okay if they can get that embargo lifted and they can get this all sorted out. I mean, they only had 14 players on Saturday, and Coventry at home, you know. This is home banker for them. They're going to be happy to start the season off again. But Pompey had like 14 players, including like a keeper who'd never played before or something. You know, it's not easy for them. They literally. I mean, John Utaka, from what I can make out, had an absolute shocker. He's obviously that sort of player who's not interested if it's not suiting him. He doesn't want to play in the Championship. Fair enough. He hardly touched the ball, but it's so frustrating because Cottrell clearly wanted to change it but couldn't change it.
This whole season's going to be all about Carlo staying fit. That's the sad state of affairs that you're in.
The annoying thing about Carnham is he's trying to, trying to hold the club to ransom. They haven't got any money.
Would you say, Carnham's best years are behind him now?
A long way behind him. Well, he obviously scored the goal to win Pompey the FA Cup. So, you know, he still can perform at a certain level. But, you know, it's a very clear cut.
It was a few years ago.
It was a very clear cut situation at Portsmouth that you know they haven't got any money. They've just come out of an administration. Sign the contract or don't. If you don't want to sign it, go. Just go, because then the club can move on.
They can indeed. Mm. But one club that... is back up in the Championship is Leeds United.
Yeah, it was
a very entertaining match. They lost against Derby, and Derby are probably few people fancy them to go up, I'd imagine.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, go on. Would you?
I noticed that during the coverage on the television of that match that Peter Schmeichel has a son and he plays in goal. It seems. I mean, they didn't mention that every 5 minutes.
Right.
But he had an excellent match, didn't he?
He was super.
He's a hell of a footballer. Never mind a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He plays near enough on a halfway line.
Do you not remember
It's
that?
A bigger pitch than Notts County, and I think he's just enjoying it. He's going, whoa, look at this space.
Well, Elland Road is a particularly big pitch. I remember for a time when they were in the Premiership, when it was the Premiership, they had the biggest pitch in the league, I think.
It's 11 yards bigger than County's. I looked it up.
Is it really? Yeah, that is a fact.
Oh, well, their pitch used to be like considerably bigger than Highbury, for example.
Oh, Highbury's always quite a square, smaller pitch.
Yeah. But as you say, like sometimes like sort of 15, 20 yards. You know, yeah. It really was the margin of the width and the length of the pitch is actually a lot wider than you think.
It's got to be within a certain set parameter, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's not a standard size, but it's got to be within a certain set of. So it's got to be between this long and this long.
Yeah, but it is quite a large margin. I'm saying.
Oh no, yeah, it is. Yeah, and more than that, teams change it.
Yeah.
They change it depending on who they're playing against. You know, if they've got players who like using the wide areas more, they'll narrow it. That's part of it, I think.
It was nice to see local Leeds lad Aidan White coming on, and he looks like a real talent, except he can't seem to deliver a final ball. But he can run at players, and that's always useful, certainly in that division.
I thought Derby knocked the ball around quite nicely, actually.
It's a good win for them at LMO.
It's a great win.
No, Savage pulled the string still.
Robbie Savage, yeah.
Yeah, he pulled the string. It was big, because a few Leeds fans who will remain nameless were giving it some big licks to a few Derby fans that I saw on the internet. saying that, you know, it's Derby's cup final and all this lot. So I was secretly quite pleased that Derby got a result there.
89-90, though. That's the first time that Leeds have lost opening day.
Is it?
Mm.
No, fucking. Are you anchoring for a move to another podcast?
Eat my fat pie, people.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, speaking of local lads, that boy at Palace, he was brilliant.
Oh, the young lads.
Wilfred Zaha, they won 3-2. He scored one.
They were 3-0 up, I think, at half time.
They were. And he scored one. He set one up. And the third goal came from a shot that got parried off him and the guy followed up. They got another boy there as well, a 19-year-old fella, Kieran Cadogan as well.
Yeah.
And if you add that to the fact that Moses came through and went off to Wigan,
right.
They've got a good bunch of young players. Yeah. Which could really save them, because they're obviously in a lot of financial trouble, Palace.
You forget how good the Championship is sometimes when obviously the Premier League starts up and all the dramas and whatnot are going on up there. But the Championship, there's some great stuff played.
There really is. I'm looking forward to Pompey being hammered every weekend.
We have to mention Middlesbrough getting beat 3-1 at home by Ipswich, which is quite an awful start to the season, because we talked about them, I think it was on the last podcast, saying that they've got a chance, you know, Strachan at the helm, and they've got a number of Old Firm players in there, Pete,
six
they?
I believe six Old Firm players.
Boyd didn't really do an awful lot against
Chris Boyd,
but I mean, I still think Borough will be up there. I was doing this on the way up on the train. I think that Forest, Borough and QPR will have good seasons. I think Pompey will struggle. I actually think Watford will struggle as well.
I felt sorry for Forrest yesterday, because I thought Earnshaw looked quite sprightly, but he just wasn't getting enough of the ball. They just didn't have anyone to deliver it.
They'll still be good this season, Forrest. They're unlucky last season. Their home form is absolutely amazing. It's amazing. This is their away form gets them undone a lot of the time.
That's it. In League One, we mentioned Southampton, but
South Coast Derby,
they were beaten 1-0 by Plymouth.
It's lovely
to see Peter Reid back in. He's looking more like Hoggle out of Labyrinth every single year.
I think so. Has he still got a monkey's head, or heed, should I say?
Yeah, still got
I for one, I'm racking my brains as to why he took that job as Thailand national manager. It must have been such hard work.
But he refused to like use their names and stuff.
I know, yeah.
I'm not doing that.
It's funny, isn't it, when you get some of these managers who go around, because you get different levels of the kind of the international playboy manager.
Yeah.
Goose Hiddink's obviously top of the tree.
Sven.
And then you've got Sven, yeah. And then you get guys like Peter Reid and all sorts
that's
of
football
funny.
Mercenaries, basically.
Yeah, that's right.
John Carver's second in command there, really.
Oh, yeah,
really? Ex-Newcastle, second in command.
There you go.
It was sad to see Ricky Lambert not played, because I think he just pulled his groin in the... I don't know what this is, the warm-up part. I know it was a late fitness test, so...
He's decent. He scores so many goals, Lambert.
I tweaked my groin the other day, actually, yeah.
What are you doing?
It was our work summer do, softball we were playing.
Do your softball story. He rang me up just to tell me about how good he was at softball.
I've not heard this.
Four balls, yeah. Three home runs or four balls.
Yeah, softball is baseball for mongers, though, isn't it? Because the ball's a bit bigger.
No, it was mixed team, so you've got the kind of, you know.
Patronising as well.
Anyway.
Three home runs out of four.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, someone mentioned Sheffield Wednesday.
Wrestle it back.
They beat Dagenham and Redbridge 2-0. It's funny, Dagenham and Redbridge in League 2. League 1.
Well, I mean Sheffield playing Dagenham and Redbridge in the league. That's mental.
It is, isn't it?
I do think League 1 might be a bit of a step too far for their Daggers.
Do you think so?
Yeah. And I'm a fan of John Steele. I told you my John Steele story, didn't I?
Tell us it again.
Oh, they want to hear it again.
Well, you've just invited it in there, haven't you?
I don't know the John Steele story.
Okay,
don't say, oh, I don't want to tell it again.
Oh, is this the one with the son asking?
Just listen back to my old show, it's on there, it's very recent.
It was about five episodes.
It's fine.
leaving the listeners hanging.
For the record, listeners, though, it is brilliant.
It is a good story, it's one of my favourites.
Just to go back and listen to it.
Clinton Morrison scored for Sheffield Wednesday.
I think he's a good player. In that division, Morrison's decent.
I think he'll do a job for them.
But Wednesday have got to sort their financial problems out. They're still banging trouble with
it. How many clubs have got to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
We have to sort out our financial
problems. Yeah.
We haven't been paid for a while.
Do we get paid?
No. Pete, I told you, Marcus.
Lord Ramble, damn you. let's go to the top then, the Premier League.
I do feel much more comfortable talking about the top four, if that's all right.
Yeah.
In the Premier League.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about Luke Chadwick playing well for the MK Don.
Go on then.
Luke Chadwick played well for the MK Don.
Wait, can I just say, before you go on to the Premier League, for all the people, I do have a bit of a pop at Southampton every so often. I do actually think they might win the league this season in the League One.
Oh, lovely.
So, you know, stick that in your pipe.
And as they're picking up their trophy, they'll be wearing their red and white striped sort of sash that looks like they've all won some sort of beauty pageant.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah.
wonderful. I'm going to jump in with a little email from Christian Robinson, and he said, do you remember the show or two ago when we were talking about the Emirates Cup?
That was last week.
We said, what if the Premier League was done by the Emirates Cup? Well, he's worked it out, but he's done the 2008-2009 season.
And this is a point. This is what would happen if you got a point for every goal you scored.
Yeah, and
I bet he's done the 2008-2009 season because he's a Liverpool fan. Liverpool won it.
Liverpool won the league.
Exactly, yeah,
but he also said Pete might have been happy because Newcastle would have survived relegation.
Mm. Hey, how would we have done that?
Because you scored more.
Sure, Rami Hobby's fine 10 goals.
You scored more goals than Sunderland, West Bromwich Albion, and Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I mean, loads of people emailed in with this, but I guess Christian...
But the top four is still the top four, though. Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea and Arsenal. Yeah. Thank you for that, Christian Robinson, but...
He did us a solid there.
But it is effectively...
fiction.
Pointless.
Moot.
Premier League. I found it... the reason I want to talk about the Premier League before it starts is I just wanted to talk about Al Fayed having a dig at Roy Hodgson.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I don't understand that. It's odd,
because obviously this was a week ago or
so. Like, he's been there for like 6 months and ran away.
I know.
This is like at the unveiling of Mark Hughes.
That's right.
Right, okay, I saw that. Yeah.
And he said, after we put Hodgson where he is now, he took advantage and left us.
So, hang on a minute. No, sorry. I'm going to have to stop even after that opening gambit. After we put Hodgson where he is now, he was a manager before he came to Fulham, you know. And
have
quite
you not
a good
read
one.
His Wikipedia page?
Yeah.
I'll fire
at
it.
The very least. You employed him for a number of years.
Was he in football before that, was he?
Yeah.
Don't know, Scandinavian. Well, got that off the ground.
He's only
into, you know, exactly. Went to teams to the World Cup and yeah. The European Championship.
Even in his apparently his worst spell at Blackburn, he got into the UEFA Cup.
He said, we gave him all the support. We believed in him and he just let us down. Roy disappointed the fans and players.
With a UEFA Cup final.
Yeah.
Europa League.
Europa yeah. League final.
I forgive him anyhow, and I'm sure he's going to get Liverpool downhill.
Oh, come on.
I don't know what he means by get Liverpool downhill. I reckon he means get them going, though.
I think there's a more serious point in all this, which is that Mohamed Al-Fayed is slowly losing his mind.
Give him a passport. Yeah. There we are.
Because he kept putting in that press conference. To be honest, I think he is losing it a little bit after all the thing that happened with his son. It's a bit of a sad story, but
for the millionaire Egyptian.
He kept putting Mark Hughes on the spot as well.
Yeah, he did.
Going, I'm sure, well, Mark, he's going to do better than Roy anyway, so aren't you, Mark?
Yeah.
And Mark Hughes was just like,
oh God.
Yeah, yeah.
What about that
yeah, I well, I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't promise anything.
Can you sign me to Rocket Santa Cruz?
He handed him a £50 note.
Did he?
At one point, Alpha.
What has Rocket Santa Cruz got on Mark Hughes?
Yeah.
Looks.
Yeah.
Well.
Magnificent.
Just brightens the place up, Pete.
Bit of eye candy.
A couple of nice pot plants in the office, isn't it?
But he's got to balance it out if he signs Craig Bellamy as
my
well.
My God.
Yeah, he's trying to hijack Spurs' bid, apparently.
As a rule, can I just say, for the record, that whoever it is, I don't really like it when managers just keep signing the same players over and over again. Jim Smith used to do it. Remember Jim Smith?
Of course I remember.
He used to do it with Dion Burton all the time. every single club he went to, he signed him every time. I don't like that, like he's
a second in command. Like he's a coach or something.
But Roy Hodgson's already said he won't raid for them.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, just think outside the box a little bit. Blue sky it.
I think we mentioned this last week. People should take advantage of Man City's players like Bellamy and Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Because they need to get rid of a few.
Ireland looks like he might go to Villa, I think, which would be great for them.
I'd love Ireland to be playing regularly.
20 odd million. Oh, yeah, of course. But 20 odd million and Ireland for Milner. You'd take that all day long.
Of course you would.
I'd take that all day long.
Just because he's English.
Hang on a minute.
People go mental.
If you were a manager, you'd sign Stephen Ireland wherever you went.
Yeah, I would, yeah. No, I'd sign Santa Cruz wherever I went.
I'd sign Stephen Ireland just so that he'd have to build a new house and he'd get some mental shit in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He owns all these weird properties. He's like a James Bond baddie. Weird layers everywhere.
I'd make him have his house on the training ground so everyone could look around
He'd have like a swimming pool that opens up and a big rocket comes out. Stephen Ireland space rocket.
Oh, if Stephen Ireland got like a big contract at Man City, for example, like £200,000 a week or something, he would buy a house and under a volcano.
Yeah. It would be like You Only Live Twice.
He'd build
the lake opens and off he comes.
Yeah.
He'd build his own volcano first. There ain't that many volcanoes in Britain. But
Wow. There's maybe one or two dormant. Arthur Seat is a dormant volcano, but that's in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
He's not going to commute.
No,
it's
going to
be a signing for Hearts or Hibs. But
what are we talking about? But, by the way, on your point about Milner, because he's English, you're absolutely right. Because
I
read a report, I don't know how accurate it is, so I'll put that little caveat in there. But there's talk of Mesut Ozil perhaps moving to Manchester United. Well, he's probably going to move.
Mm.
But the price tag's £12 million.
What?
That's half the price of James Milner. Well, I know there's wages involved, and he's Milner's very highly paid.
Hey. He's only got one season left.
He's got a sell-by date.
It's absolutely ridiculous, though, isn't it?
That is obscene.
He's in the top like five players from that World Cup.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
What the hell did Milner do?
James always says,
insert wet and windy night, etc.
James or Jim always says, I don't think Ozil's that great. I mean, he's had an alright World Cup, doesn't he? Now he's not here, let's dig on him.
Yeah.
thing is, he'll never hear this.
Yeah.
He hasn't got internet up there in Edinburgh.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, it highlights the.
I'd like to make the point that Edinburgh does have the internet.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not, you know, but James won't do them. Yeah. Anyway, carry on, sorry.
Should we do a show?
Crap, the mics have been on the shelter. Let's go to Arsenal, metaphorically. Arsene Wenger's contract finishes at the end of
this season, isn't it?
Of the coming season, yeah. And he said that he kind of said something quite odd, because he said if he's going to seek a new challenge, than he will do, you know, in a year's time. But if he doesn't seek it then, he never will.
But that's linked into the fact that he's always said he'll retire from football management at 65, and he's 61 now.
Okay, right, yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, I think it was more was made of that story than necessary, to be honest. Because he knows that if he wants to move, he's going to have to move at the end of this contract.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, I guess you've got to look at the situation at the end of the season, which jobs are actually open.
Well, Mourinho would have been sacked. Standard.
Could go back to Japan.
Yeah, he could do. But he's turned down Madrid and Barcelona in the past, Wenger.
He's definitely turned down Madrid.
I actually think that Arsenal will do something decent this season. I think so. A lot of those players are going to have matured a lot more.
Schumacher looks quite a
classic. Looks decent, yeah.
They
yeah.
let in five at the weekend and still won.
Yeah, pre-season friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
Chelsea, then Arsenal for me. Chelsea title, Arsenal second.
Yeah,
how about that? Get on that.
Big talk.
I think you're top three. It's going to be one of them, isn't it?
Yeah. But I don't see.
I don't really get any bonus brownie points for saying that.
I just think Chelsea. Chelsea going to win.
I think that's it. I think they're all going to win. And
boring, isn't it, Premier League?
But looks like Deco has moved to Brazil. Is it Fluminense?
Fluminense, I think. Yeah, he's 32 now. Deco, isn't he?
Nice move.
Yeah, it is a nice move. He'll be a massive fish in that pond as well.
Oh my goodness, what a move! Yeah, he won't have to run. No. He can party all night.
One of the best things about being a professional footballer would be moving to Brazil at the age of 32.
After making a lot of money. Money's not an object.
3 years? Yeah, 3 years. Cheers. No, I think Decker's only got 2 years, but it's still a lovely move for him.
And that would have that would have been decided over a great big buffet lunch.
It would have, yeah.
In Rio.
Yeah. Like the idea of Luke sort of going, yeah, I'd take that.
Yeah, I would. I'd sunburn horribly, but I'd still take it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd walk around with my handkerchief on my head, my trousers rolled up on the beach.
Dear. But another big move the other way is Hernanez of Sao Paulo. Well, not of Sao Paulo anymore. He's gone to Lazio.
A lot of money as well.
Now, he's been brilliant, Hernanez. He's been like one of the best players in Brazil for the last few seasons, and perhaps a slightly overdue move, although I quite like it, because he's no spring chicken. I think he's mid, is he 26?
He's 20, he's mid-20s, certainly.
Yeah. But he could have gone earlier, but he's stayed there. He's had a good time in Sao Paulo. The last couple of seasons might have stalled him a bit, but it's good that he's not rushed to Europe, you know.
Yeah, the thing is that he's getting to the point where he had to move pretty swiftly.
Yeah.
Because he's a midfielder, obviously, so he can
play kind of a number 10 role.
But the thing is, I don't understand why he's gone to Lazio.
It's a shame, yeah.
I personally, I don't really like Lazio, but it's not because of that. I mean, Lazio...
Racism.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But this time last year, and the year before, I think, Dunga, in his capacity as Brazilian manager, I think he was trying to facilitate a move for Hernanez to Milan.
Oh, was he?
And it kept breaking down, I don't know why, but then Hernanez pledged another year to Sao Paulo, then again. And now he's gone to Lazio for quite a lot of money. I mean, they didn't have a great season last season. It's a strange one for me, that.
Maybe he wants to kind of be a big fish in a smaller
pond. Maybe he does, yeah. Well, I'm sure it'll be that.
But he's certainly one to look out for. I mean,
absolutely.
Because he is a superb player. He's not played very much for Brazil, but of course, you know, trying to get into that side is very difficult,
absolutely.
Especially under the way Dunga played.
Absolutely, you know. Yeah. Maybe now, Hernanez has thought, well, Menezes has come in. If I want to get in the team consistently, I'm going to have to go to Europe and play at the top level.
Yeah. But he's good enough to get some call-ups. I mean, he's only had a few caps. If that, maybe just the one or two.
Right.
Know. So, yeah, Hernanez to Lazio. Have a look at
that. That's a big move, that.
It is a big move. Well, let's. We broke away from the Premier League very briefly there, but we're going to come back to it. Let's have a few predictions for the season stuff. Which promoted sides are going to do best? Pete Donaldson, ladies and gentlemen.
Not Newcastle.
You're so negative about Newcastle. You said that last season.
I watched them against Rangers at the weekend, and we just looked absolutely. We just didn't know what to do. We just looked completely toothless.
Would you think they'll stick with Houghton then?
Well, yeah, they'll stick it at least until the end. I think his contract runs until the end of this season, I believe.
We've just got
nothing up front. We're sort of looking at people that fit in the departed Nicky Butt sort of Alan Smith sort of role. But yeah, I mean, we need somebody up top because we just got. I know there aren't that many players out there, but I mean, we just don't have.
Is this my chance to become a local hero?
we do say this every season. It's really tough for teams getting promoted to the Premier League to sign players who are going to guarantee you goals, because players who have played in the Premier League consistently probably won't entertain signing for them. And then the other players that would, for the money, you can't afford, because you don't want to leverage yourself up and get yourself into a Portsmouth or a Leeds situation. So then you end up going to Eastern Europe or to Africa or maybe even South America, where you gamble on players, and a lot of the time that doesn't work out. Because Blackpool have hardly signed anyone either, have they? They started playing hardball about DJ Campbell, so they're not going to pay over this amount for him. So he's gone back, so they've not got him.
Maybe they're just doing that sort of if you have to go down and then back up again. But I mean, they've not really. You may as well have a crack at it if you're Blackpool, for Christ's sake.
I was saying a few weeks ago that they just take the money. They just, the amount of money that I'm offering for getting to the Premier League is so big. Yeah. Then you've got your parachute payments if you get relegated. Yeah. If you're a businessman, and obviously businessmen don't really ever expect to make money out of football clubs, but if you've got an opportunity to do that, I sort of sympathise with it. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs because I'm a football fan, so it's annoying for me, but I don't own the club, so I don't get any money. But you can sort of understand it.
Just sort of think, well, we're a Championship level club. We could cement our position in the Championship
with a load of cash, a line of pockets. Yeah,
bit of a cup run, maybe.
I just think all the teams that come up will struggle this season. I genuinely do. But I sort of think that every season, so it's a bit of a cop out.
West Brom, maybe.
I still can't. I mean,
they kind of know how to operate. They, as I said, have no fear of going down. I think that's the.
But surely West Brom and Newcastle shouldn't come into that category.
Like Newcastle will be looking to stay up, surely. Exactly,
absolutely. And I would have thought West Brom as well, because they've been up and down of late. And so I know what you're saying about the cash payments and whatnot, but surely Newcastle and West Brom can't be thinking about that.
I think Newcastle will panic in January and they'll sign a couple of players. I think that's...
But Pete, Newcastle are a guaranteed a Premier League level club in terms of the size of stadium, the size of support. I know they get a lot of stick for that, but I do still believe they're in the top 20 biggest clubs in the country.
Of course they are.
You look at someone like Blackpool.
Top 10, you know. No, yeah.
Top two.
We've got 47,000 in the Championship.
Yeah, it's a big crowd. Yeah, but look at Blackpool. Blackpool, I mean, no disrespect to Blackpool fans, I actually feel the same about Portsmouth, the team I support. That Blackpool are a Championship level club.
Yeah,
they've done extraordinarily well to get up there. They should enjoy it the same as I did. I mean, the Pompey thing lasted a lot longer than I thought it would. But they're a Championship level club, really. So if they can start, that'd be a miracle. But the one thing that's working for them that maybe hasn't worked over the last five or six years is there's a lot of rubbish teams in the Premier League, a lot more than there used to be. You know, so you've got seven or eight, you could even up to Blackburn, I think. I mean if that takeover doesn't come through for Blackburn, they've got a chance of going down, an outside chance, but you know what I'm trying to say. Absolutely. With the amount of teams that could happen with.
So, well, which the question still stands, gentlemen. Which promoted side do you think is going to do the best?
I think
they'll all be in trouble, and I think Newcastle will probably be the best out of the three. Okay. But I do favour them.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah,
yeah. Top scorer
in the league.
Yep.
Oh, I'll go for. Indeed. We did this every week, didn't we? I'm gonna go for Drogba.
Yeah, me too.
I'll tell you why, because Torres and Van Persie won't stay fit, and Drogba's got one season left in him at that level. I think at that level of performance, I think he'll be top scorer.
What about Hernandez, Man United?
Do you think he'll play an awful lot?
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good player.
Yeah, you see that Mame Diouf, the Man United striker, who's featured a couple of times last season, he's gone on loan to Blackburn.
All right.
I think he scored in the pre-season game recently. Ooh. Yeah. But if Hernandez is a good player, no doubt about that, but I can't see him getting 30 goals this season.
No. Can you?
You might put Owen in every
Michael
match.
Owen.
Never know.
Mickey Ooh. Owen.
But maybe Berbatov will reignite.
Who knows?
There's a lot of names to be said. But none of them got in the England squad, partly because most of the names you said aren't English.
Quite well made.
Thank you. Yeah. Before we talk about some of the new names in the England squad, one name was in there for a brief moment, and then he withdrew it. Paul Robinson.
An odd decision.
He's retired from international football.
The day after being called up.
Well, he said, you'll love this, he said that...
Stop being stupid, Fabio. Yeah.
He said, I've taken the decision to retire from international football with immediate effect. Only now have I been able to make this decision, as previously I have not been in contention or selection for the squad.
But it doesn't matter.
Oh, so he's just been waiting to go...
So, effectively, none of us can come out.
Would you know? What a tease.
You can't... Yeah. You don't have to be in the squad to retire.
I think that's confusing for the manager. So he goes, who's still in... Who's not retired? Yeah. Okay. All right,
retirement status.
Right, you're in. Oh, no, now I'm going to retire. Don't... tease the manager.
But Robertson also said the reason he's done it is because he won't be number one pick.
Hmm.
That's so childish, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, if you've got a job to do and you're being called up, it's a great honour as far as
I'm concerned. If every other player took that, then you'd just have a first 11. You'd have a squad of about 14, wouldn't you?
Do you want to sit on the bench? No. Not doing it.
Yeah. Bring back England B internationals, I say.
Chris Sutton won't be involved.
That's right, yeah. It's a few people. Yeah. So the names, the most notable names that got in the list, of course, are Jack Wilshere, Kieran Gibbs, Adam Johnson's back, Carlton Cole, Bobby Zamora, D Bent, and Super Theo.
Super Theo. Sorry, do you mean Theo Walcott?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just want to clarify that.
Misrepresenting.
Didn't know if you meant Theo from the Cosby Show.
Yeah, all right. Unfortunately, at the time of recording, the game hasn't been played, of course. But yeah. Wilshere and Gibbs, surely the two big ones.
Well, I don't think they'll play. Capello said that I think it's just for experience, really. I don't think they're going to get a game. Well, Gibbs might, but I don't think Wilshere will.
I think he's put in Gibbs because he's not going to pick Wayne Bridge anymore because Terry's still in the squad.
Yeah.
And so Wayne Bridge is obviously not going to have that. And who's your other left back cover for Ashley Cole?
It's an odd squad. But I mean, it'd be nice to. It almost guarantees that he has to blood in a couple of players. He has to play a couple of.
Gibbs could play.
I'd love to see Bobby Zamora given a run out. I really would.
But the thing is,
he looked lethal against Bremen.
I don't want to hate. I don't want to hate on Zamora. But just to play devil's advocate,
Bobby Zamora.
What is the point of having him in the squad?
He won't let us down.
How do you know that?
It's just a little prediction.
Well, I think
we all have them from time to time.
In seriousness, I think Gibbs is closer to the team than Wilshere for the reasons you've just said. I mean, it would have been nice to see Jack Rodwell get a little nod as well. Mm-hmm. But I, for one, looking forward to Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard playing in the middle together, playing really well because the pressure's off at home against a shit team and everyone going mental. That's my prediction.
I reckon Hungary are going to beat a 6-3.
Is that right? Yeah.
While we're on the international football, did you hear Alex Ferguson? Sir Alex?
Yeah.
Ferguson.
Not behaviour befitting of a knight.
Slacking off the World Cup. He said the last World Cup was poor and you need to go back to 1986 for the last good one. Incidentally, he managed at that
point. Yeah, he's right. Yeah. Not very well either.
No.
Can you imagine Sepp Blatter hearing that and going, oh, you're hard. Yeah. What international tournaments have you put on?
Sepp going, the World Cup only started in 1990, so you're wrong.
Exactly, yeah.
How much money have you made this year? Because I made loads of it. Alex. Yeah.
Didn't even pay any tax.
That's Pete doing an impression of Sepp Blatter.
Yeah.
Not saying even.
No.
let's move on to European football, club football, of course. Spurs, just about got that out, facing Young Boys Bern.
Yeah.
In their Champions League playoff.
Mm. Yeah, Swiss team. Sadly, no Kenny Pavey and no Icor.
No, well, just a note on Young Boys Burn, and brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because they do have an Englishman called Scott Stutter.
They
and
do.
The commentators will go on.
It's Scott Suter, isn't it?
Suter.
Yeah. They do have a young boy place for them. And, yeah, exactly. They're going to pipe up about that every 5 minutes.
Yeah, he moved out. I think he was quite young.
They do
16.
Have a young boy.
There was someone on Twitter the other day calling for. It might have been yesterday, actually, calling for Pavey to be in the England squad. If you do your job, he won't let you down.
I would never block such a thing.
No, same.
I know, I'd definitely be up for that. Unfortunately, Icor lost to Rosenborg.
That's right, yeah.
But they do have a Europa League playoff against Levski Sofia.
If they win that, they go into the Europa League.
If they win that,
I'm kind of glad that Pavey isn't sort of up on the in the old Champions League.
Why?
Just because he's ours.
Newcastle might sign him.
He's the football Rambles player.
Can't you speak?
I will not share him.
Can't you speak to someone at Newcastle, Pete?
What? Pete, get him in.
Pete, just not walk in and talk to the chairman. That's how it works.
Is it like when you like a really underground band and then they become really popular? And then you go, oh, God, I hate it. But I think that Spurs, that's a great draw for Spurs. But young boys, let's not forget.
Let's not.
They won in Fenerbahce.
They did.
And they've got an all right team. I think Spurs will probably go through.
Andy Brassel couldn't believe that.
No.
It was like, that's absolutely massive.
Fenerbahce is not a nice place to go.
No, absolutely.
So have you been?
No, but it's uncompromising.
Oh, okay.
It's frightening. Welcome to next to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to just down the road from hell. It's also really bad.
Seventh hell. Purgatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is European. Oh, something else. Let's widen it. Let's talk about world football.
Okay.
If I
wow.
Know. Yes, Pete.
Cosmos.
It goes on.
It does.
It happens in other countries.
Oh, my days.
Outside of Europe, believe it or not. Diego Forlan.
Yeah.
Did you see this? There was a little.
Did you know that he used to play for Man United?
Oh, yes, I did. You little interrupter. There was a clip of him. Now, obviously he's just won. He's won the Golden Ball at the World Cup. He's Billy Big Balls or Golden Balls or whatever, and. It seems that this was a local game. I imagine it was Uruguay. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was Spain where he's living, but it wasn't England. And he was invited to get the game underway, like take the kickoff.
What, like a ceremonial first pitch at the baseball?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So he knocks the ball. He's wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So he gets the knocks the ball right, and then walks off the pitch, waving to the crowd whilst the game's going on around him.
That's mental.
Would you not just get involved? I'd love to say just
really shot from kickoff. Would you?
The organisers were going, yeah. So that's why we don't do that normally. That's why we don't do ceremonial kickoffs.
It's so funny though. It's a brilliant clip.
I thought you were going to say he pinged it in from the kick.
No, if only.
There was a weird one during the Southampton match. For some reason, I swear the ref went to take the to receive the ball at one point.
Did he?
He sort of, the ball came towards him. Instead of leaping over it, I think he forgot where he was, and he just stuck out a boat, then pulled it back really quick. Oh God, I've just remembered a referee. Oh God,
I've actually been involved in this on the league game where the referee's headed it. As a proper ref, he headed it. Give it a big header. Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea why. But he gave a drop ball.
Yeah. Silly boy.
Confused.
Yeah.
Well, that is super.
That's great stuff, yeah.
Lovely stuff. This just won't go away. I've got a Paul the Octopus update.
Oh, good. Pete's gutted. Just tell me. Pete's not interested.
Cannot stand that thing.
Put your tentacles away, Pete. he's going to be followed by a documentary crew.
That will be rubbish.
Sorry, can I just turn everyone's mics down just to sit and just go... All right, that's how I feel about it.
What a sigh!
They sort of followed. Surely he's pretty much in the same place the whole time.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't do anything. He's not even predicting anymore.
That's not all.
Yeah. Any more threats on his life?
He's been signed up by Paul Daniel's agent. You know, magician Paul Daniel.
I do.
And he's set to become a bit of a Christmas hit. A own range of toys and books.
I just, God. I fear for humanity. I'm with Amadou Dinner Jar on this one.
Pete's only annoyed about this. He's not thought of it himself.
I'll tell you what. I've actually left the best till last. It's not finished. Because he's had a lot of offers. And
oh, God, he's not replacing Jim, is he? Is this a ruse? Is this a story?
Yeah. He's replacing Chris Hughton.
Yeah.
Lads, there's no point in playing because we're going to lose this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been offered an album deal called Paul the Octopus Sings Elvis.
How will that work?
I'm not lying. This has been published in the press.
What source is this?
It's a reliable one.
I'm rescuing this with an email.
No.
If I got mental and stab him or something, can you? Will you guys support me?
You'll get life. You'll get life in prison for that.
You'll be pleased to know that the money will go to a Greek sea life sanctuary.
What money? There won't be any money.
Don't give Sea Life Sanctuaries money because this happened.
Yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Would you not have him singing Elvis?
No.
Why is it? Because he's not. Is it because he's not got a mouth?
Yeah.
Stop discriminating.
That's at the end of a very long list of reasons why.
Yeah.
Okay. Good Christ.
Right, I'm doing an email. You two,
pull it back.
Dearest Ramblers,
oh,
inspired by your latest Dean Windass Hall of Fame entrant, Stuart Psycho Pearce, I thought I'd share you my own personal piece of England glory.
Oh,
not very humble. In 1999, at the ripe old age of 16, I was selected to be a ball boy for the Euro 2000 qualifier versus Luxembourg at Wembley.
I was there for that.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I saw him.
You probably mate. Yeah. Obviously, I was very excited at being allowed on the hallowed turf and got to meet some of the players beforehand. It was Kieran Dyer's debut, but my abiding memory pre-game was of Phil Neville coming out and trying to play head tennis with a wall, and the wall winning.
Well, it will do.
But when it came to the actual game, I was actually really bored. Sat by the halfway line, I didn't get very involved as we completely dominated in a 6-0 win.
Shearer hat-trick.
In fact, I was so desperate to get involved at one point, I ended up getting a second ball on the pitch by accident. But then came my moment of glory.
Ah.
90 plus minutes gone, ball gets punted into the crowd for an England throw. Across comes Psycho. I throw the ball to him. He winks at me and lugs young Michael Owen, who turns two defenders and spanks it in the top corner. I think I'll have that as an assist. Adam Direct from Exeter. Thank you for that, Adam.
That was a lovely goal. That was a lovely goal as well from Michael. And I'm actually glad that the real man who's assisted him there has been
his story's gone untold for so long.
That's it.
I'd love to see Opta stats on ball boys.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Adam Dyrick.
Adam.
If Paul the Octopus can get a record deal, then you based on that could probably get some sort of glory.
Yeah. I love a little wink.
At least a theatre production.
The thing is, though, I'm not sure if he actually did wink, because he says he winks at me, or that's how I remember it.
Ah, of course.
Yeah.
And then he glint off his teeth as he went ding.
Yeah. Give it the benefit of the doubt.
Ah, what's this, son? What's this, eh?
Yeah.
I've got an email.
Oh my goodness.
Ramble clods.
Thick and fast.
This is from a man by the name. Oh, let's have a look here. JT from Chicago.
Oh. JT, that sounds ominous.
Ominous, yeah. Ramble Electricians. Hola.
What?
It's a mashup.
Bizarre.
He's taking liberties.
Bizarre.
I don't have a trade.
I was listening to the... I'm a son of an electrician.
Oh, yeah.
Electrical engineer, rather. Yeah. Okay. I was listening to the latest stirring episode of the Ramble podcast when I heard the Ramble Force ponder the whereabouts of the great, his words, Giorgio Chinaglia.
Yes, as you can New York
see,
Cosmos.
Yeah, as you can see from the blurb below, he can be heard each week for 2 hours on Sirius Satellite Radio, mourning about the current state of football and how players just don't measure up to his abilities. Sounds on the pitch or with the ladies.
Sounds amazing.
I know that you love the nozzle, but please, I beg you, never let Chinaglia into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. Thank you, JT Chicago. Would you like to hear the...
He's already in there. It's part of the Cosmos.
Sorry, JT.
Oh, yeah, I guess he is.
New York Cosmos are in.
Well, this on Sirius Radio.
On Sirius Radio. It's like satellite sort of. Yeah. It's a subscription radio.
I think it might be, yeah.
Well, every Wednesday is from 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yeah.
That's your New Yorks, your Miamis, etc.
Yeah.
The Sports Channel 125, legendary soccer star Giorgio Chinaglia, former New York Cosmos and Italian national team striker, and Charlie Stilettano, past general manager of the New York / New Jersey Metro Stars, team up to cover the best teams and leagues from around the globe with expert analysis and interviews with the sport's most intriguing personalities in this Sirius exclusive. Give Giorgio and Charlie a call. If you'd like to give them a call, 877-629-4614. We don't even have a phone number.
No.
Oh, what, my days.
Terrible Blokes FM.
Yeah.
Why are we advertising another radio?
Yeah,
radio
Pete.
Another one, as if we are one.
Yeah. Well, if they let him on, and the general manager of whatever it is... The general manager of New Jersey Metro Stars.
I'd actually quite like to hear that.
I would as well.
Yeah, I think
so. He's piping off saying modern day footballers aren't as good as him.
Well, he was
in bed or on the pitch.
It was
amazing.
It's good. Imagine to see having him, that his big Tony Soprano face just leering down at you.
It's good to see he hasn't changed. I thought he was still on the run for some sort of heinous crime.
Yeah, wasn't it just all? Yeah, it was all. He was involved in the running of the club.
Libel alert! Libel alert!
Money went missing.
Allegedly.
Sound the libel alarm.
Well, you know, he doesn't need to be doing Sirius Satellite Radio, I imagine.
Yeah.
Get us on Sirius. Come on. Come on, Sirius.
It's Sirius.
Come on,
Sirius. I'm super serious when I say it's Sirius.
Isn't Andre 3000's daughter called Seven Sirius?
Is she?
Yeah, I think so.
Bang.
Full of facts.
There we go. Yeah. Full of facts, man.
And that ends the main bit of the podcast.
Yeah. On that bombshell.
Oh, it's profile time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. And
Big Barry Davis.
We have a man who you may not have heard of, but by jingo, you'll be familiar with him by the time I finish this. Or we finish this, should I say.
Or this section of the show's failed.
We've got the Scottish footballing legend, Jimmy McGrory.
Yes!
There you go.
It's another one of Marcus's... these men with incredible records and incredible sort of games that they've played, but they're not necessarily household names.
No.
Which is scandalous.
And they should be, and that's why they're in here.
That's part of what the Windass Hall of Fame is all about.
Yeah.
Notice I didn't say Dean Windass, I shortened it slightly.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's an educational one.
I love learning.
Yeah. And there will be an exam at the end.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Jimmy McGrory, he was born in 1904.
63 years before the Summer of Love.
Good maths.
Yeah. Hasn't he done well? Did he email you the date before you arrived? Or did you just bang it?
That is the way Luke Moore's head works.
Wow. field.
When he's switched on, it can be devastating.
Mm. Yeah.
Just a shame it's few and far between.
Yeah. Guilty.
He was the son of Irish immigrants in Glasgow growing up there. And when he was 16, he earned £2 a week playing football at St Roch's Juniors. And he signed for Celtic aged 17. And now, again, as Pete said, you're thinking, who is this bloke?
Yeah.
Trust me, it's worth it.
Yeah. Stay with us. Yeah.
There's going to be a stat that are going to blow your mind, I imagine.
Remember Fernando Peirotteo? Remember Joseph Beacan?
Yeah.
We didn't let you down then.
Because this man had the biggest... No, come on. after he signed for Celtic, Celtic had won the Scottish Championship in 1921-1922 season, as we all remember. But after that, they kind of went into a little bit of a decline. Now, one of their main players was Patsy Gallagher, and he was injured in that season. During that season, so Jimmy McGrory kind of got his chance there, but he didn't do too well. He was playing inside right, and as I say, he didn't have the greatest times, and nobody would realise what a player he would turn out to be. So
he's a young man at this stage, though. He's still very young.
He was farmed out on loan to Clyde Bank in the 1923-24 season. And when he came back, he was rather improved, shall we say.
Did he sell his soul to the devil at a crossroads in Clydebank?
I think so. Because that's where the devil tends to do his best work. His loan period with Clydebank ended after he scored the winner against Celtic, funnily enough.
Oh, right.
Right, he's hurt back us. Here. Get back here.
The boy Robson's half ago. He's hurt us today. He's hurt us today.
So he returned to Celtic, and he returned to them in the 1924-25 season. And right at the end of that season, they were in the Scottish Cup final, and he got the winner in the dying minutes against Dundee to win them the Scottish Cup. So that's where we come in.
That's really. Where it started.
Exactly.
Done Dundee in the dying minutes.
Yeah. Alliteration.
Exactly.
Something we can all get on board with.
His after he won the Scottish Cup, from then on, his scoring record was downright fan-bloody-tastic.
Okay.
84 goals over the next two seasons.
Not bad, is it?
Right, how many is that a season?
42 seasons.
That's absolutely ridiculous. They won the league championship in 1926. In 1927...
You'd hope so with 42 goals.
Yeah. From one player.
What
are the rest of them doing?
Starting in December 1927, in 8 games he scored 21 goals. including 8 in a 9-1 victory over Dunfermline.
Was this a 5-a-side?
Is this 11-a-side?
Yeah. I think that's a record. That is the record for a number of goals scored in one senior league match in Scotland, and I suspect Britain.
The only time I'd ever heard of McGrory is and you're kind of going to come on to it, didn't he score an absolute shedload in a cup final where they won 7-1? I think they beat Rangers.
He didn't score, but I will explain why.
Yeah. Must have been his era, though.
We'll come on to it.
Okay, good. That was his era. I'm not completely wrong.
He wasn't a tall centre forward at all. He was only about 5'6".
About your height then, Marcus, yeah?
No, give me 5'8".
That is tiny, isn't it?
Yeah, 5'6".
Owen-esque.
Messi-esque.
Yeah, Owen's
5'7", I think.
5'8".
Well, Messi doesn't score as many goals. Come on now.
We're arguing over an inch or two.
Yeah.
Story of our life.
Again.
But he's very robust. Great shot. Very strong. Very sort of squat, stocky forward. Mm. And apparently almost a third of his goals were from headers. He was brilliant in the air.
That's weird.
Which got him the nickname...
Bren Hemorrhage Jean Paul.
Sorry?
Paul?
You just sort of spewed nonsense from your brain there. Bearing in mind, he's from working class Glasgow. He's playing for Celtic. He's probably quite hard. Because of his heading ability, his nickname was the Mermaid.
When do mermaids...
Rising gracefully.
Yeah.
That's what mermaids... Check it out.
Peak. Salmon.
Accept it.
Yeah. If you look on the Devonshire coast, you'll see what I mean.
They didn't have salmon in the 20s.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very recent invention, the salmon.
The torpedo, I'd call him.
Oh, that was, I think that was another one of his nicknames, actually, come to think of it. But anyway, it's worth noting that in the 1927-1928 season, he scored 63 goals in all competitions. And all competitions were 46 matches. He scored 63 goals in 46 games.
Amazing. Amazing scene.
In 1928, and again, sometimes with these entrants in the Dean Mandas Hall of Fame, they neatly sort of cross paths, albeit for brief moments sometimes. In 1928, Celtic, for some reason, despite this phenomenal goal scoring that he was coming out with and the fans loving him, there was odd things going behind the scenes, and Celtic accepted a £10,000 transfer bid for McGrory from Arsenal.
All right.
Which was, of course, under
Chapman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting. So Chapman knows his onions. He thought, I'll have a bit of that.
I don't think it
Why did they do that?
It's strange, isn't it?
But Chapman thought, am I in the market for his 60 goal a season striker? I think I am.
Exactly.
Shall I go for the biscuit boost of the 12? I'll go for the 12.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Exotic.
But McGrory, he stayed loyal to Celtic and he didn't move. And he would have become a very rich man had he gone to Arsenal. He was offered much better, but no,
he was being offered a pound a goal.
Yeah. He wanted to stay a local hero.
Yeah, he did.
Again, incredibly, he was overlooked by the Scottish national side. Now, this was suggested that there was some anti-Celtic bias in the Scottish selectors, and it was all a bit nasty.
He did play for Scotland.
He played 7 times for Scotland and scored.
That is dog shit, isn't it, for a striker with that
many. No, but in fairness, would it not have been the war after a while?
This is pre-war.
Interwar period.
And interwar period. Yeah. You are right, between World Wars 1 and 2. He played 7 times for Scotland and scored 6 goals. And he scored famously a late winner against England at Hampden Park in 1933, which this was in front of a crowd of nearly 135,000.
They used to go to games those days.
I'll tell you, yeah. And for this goal, many people credit him with starting the Hampden Roar, the famous Hampden Roar.
I've read about this
as
well.
The Hampden Roar?
Didn't they sing a song about him as well? There's a song about him, McGrory.
You might be talking about that Scottish Cup final.
Oh, okay, I'll get confused. But the Hampden Roar is basically started from him, is it?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people suggest. In 1933, the Scottish Cup final, he scored the only goal of the game, despite suffering 2 broken teeth in an early collision.
Oh, Palermo!
That's right. He did have a lot of injuries throughout the years, but again, being the great striker he was, he learned to compensate for that. He was positional, brilliant positional sense, and
by putting vinegar on his head.
Yeah, brown paper.
In the 1935-36 season, again, this is towards the end of his career, he scored 50 goals in 32 games.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that.
No. Don't even try, Pete.
There's no Celtic bias, though.
On the 21st of December, 1935, he reached a then world record of 363 career goals. And in the same year, he scored the fastest ever hat-trick in Scottish League history, a 3-minute hat-trick.
Didn't Fowler get one very quick like that?
Against Arsenal, I think, for Liverpool. But yeah, that's in Scottish League history. Yeah. In his last competitive match on the 16th of October 1937, he scored, of course, in his last game, which was his 550th goal in top class football, which is, ladies and gentlemen, a British record. He is the highest goal scorer in the history of British football.
That's why he's in.
And Gordon Strachan just signed him for Middlesbrough.
Why have we not heard of this?
No, exactly.
Why have we not?
Because there is an anti-Celtic bias.
Sorry, Marcus, I've got Romario on the phone. He said he's not bothered.
he said, could he do it in a wet and windy night in Rio?
Exactly. He scored 410 goals in 408 Scottish League appearances, which is, of course, remains a record. So every time he takes the field, he's going to score.
Yeah, it's essentially guaranteed.
There's a few games he wouldn't do because he got 8 in one game.
Yeah, that's right. It evens itself out.
Exactly.
Like at the end of the game, is there something missing? We've had 2 halves.
Yeah.
The refs ran around and blew the whistle.
Yeah. We've kicked off.
We haven't seen Jimmy Scott once.
Steward's inquiry.
He shouldn't get paid unless he's scored.
Yeah, exactly. And those who tout McGrory as the greatest striker to have played in Scottish football, which is why this man, I can't understand nobody's heard of him, really.
They must have had some wingers. My word. If he's scoring all them with his head, my word.
Yeah.
Well, if he's playing inside right, that means he would have been playing four or five up front.
Exactly, so, yeah, just lob them all up there.
But you know that... he probably is much better known in Scotland than he is here, in fairness.
But you know, I used to live in Scotland. I don't think that many people.
Where's his statue? Is there a statue?
Probably.
Valderrama cleans it.
Well done. He went into management after, and he managed Kilmarnock straight after he was released by Celtic. Although this was a bit harsh, his first game in charge of Kilmarnock was a 9-1 defeat to Celtic.
Was he scoring for Celtic?
Yeah, I think so.
He couldn't resist it.
Lit off.
Yeah.
In 1945, he was appointed Celtic manager.
Hey.
And they won the championship in 1954 with him, and Scottish Cup wins in 51 and 54, and Scottish League Cup wins in 57-58. Now, Luke, 1957, he was in charge of Celtic when they beat Rangers 7-1 in the Hampden, which is called the Sun Final, I think.
Right.
Because at the time there was a film, The Island in the Sun or something. Right. And there's a song which accompanies it. Everyone was sort of singing, it's Hampden in the Sun.
Oh, right. I got my
Celtic 7, Rangers 1.
Right, okay.
Is the kind of song.
If he was managing Celtic at the late 50s, that means he would have handed over to Jock Stein.
He did indeed. In 1965, he was replaced by Jock Stein.
Yeah.
And he was given the post of public relations officer, which he had that job until his death in 1982.
Oh, right.
So always connected with the club.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. But I thought the Scotsman summed it up quite nicely. The Scotsman being a Scottish newspaper, of course, about Jimmy McGrory. Oh, another thing to mention before I say this, and this will back that up. He was one for fair play, loved by everybody, real humble guy, and everybody said he was superb. And the Scotsman said, Jimmy McGrory was remembered not only as a brave and prolific goal scorer with Celtic, but as one who set the highest standards of fair play and sportsmanship that could be expected of any player. He was much loved, quiet, gentlemanly, generous and devoutly religious. And he is coming in to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Welcome, Jimmy.
I could be describing you, Marcus. Yeah.
Well, I don't hold the title of greatest goal scorer in British footballing history.
And you never will.
Yeah. Well, we don't have time to answer that.
Don't cheapen it.
Good stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the football ramble for this week. Well, I think we managed to get through it without James or Jim.
That Turncourt. That Edinburgh Turncourt.
That's it.
We know that if next week no one listens, that means they're just listening for Jim.
Yeah, exactly. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Come, say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, I'm James the Jim. Goodbye.
We're all off to record an album called Paul the Octopus Sings Elvis. Cheers.
No, we're not.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.